Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'd like to welcome you to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, as this is a Bible study, I'm going to be preaching from the book of 1 John, the epistle of John, the Apostle John, the first epistle. He wrote three, as well as the book of John, the Gospel of John. And then he was the human instrument that the Lord used to write the book of Revelation. Well, he wrote three epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. So we're going to go to 1 John chapter 1, and the title of the message is The Fellowship of Light. The Fellowship of Light. Now these three epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, are really fascinating parts of the Bible because they, in very succinct, very short, precise terms, set forth the issues of fellowship. And that is the fellowship of true believers. Every true believer, every sinner saved by grace, is in a family. And it's a spiritual family. And it's made up of all who are, as I said, saved by the grace of God. All whom God chose before the foundation of the world in divine sovereign electing grace in Christ. All who are justified. That is, they are forgiven of all their sins by the blood of Christ. They are declared righteous in God's sight by Christ's righteousness imputed to them, charged to them. And they are adopted into the family of God. The adoption of grace is what that is. The book of Ephesians speaks of that quite a bit, in Ephesians 1. And Romans also talks about it. But they're adopted into a family. And when we who are saved, when we're born naturally into this world, we're born in darkness, we're born in spiritual death, and our thinking, our ideas, our knowledge connects us with the family of darkness. But when we're regenerated, born again by the Spirit, we're brought from the family of darkness, the world of darkness, into the world of light, into the family of light. And all of that is because of Christ redeeming us from our sins on the cross, if we're saved. And so it's a fellowship, a oneness of truth and a oneness of spirit under God, by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what fellowship is. It's a bond of union that cannot be broken because it is set forth and made firm, not by our works and not even by our decisions. Now we do, you know, when God saves people, those people make a decision, but their salvation is not conditioned on their deciding. Their deciding is the result of Christ having met all the conditions. And that's a difference. But this is the fellowship. Now, what the epistle of 1 John does, it sets forth what I call the benchmarks of fellowship. And there are several. The first one he mentions is the fellowship of light. The fellowship of true believers is a fellowship of light. And that means we walk in the light. And that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today. And that light is the light of Christ. And listen to this. It is the light of truth. You see, a lie cannot bond us together in the fellowship of light. It's truth. And truth is doctrine. You know, a lot of people today, erroneously and unbiblically, seek a fellowship without true doctrine. And they'll say stuff like this, and I've heard even whole congregations, Local churches do this. They say, come on in and worship with us and be with us, be in our family. It doesn't matter what you believe. Well, that's a lie. That is not biblical. That is opposed to the fellowship of light. But let me give you the other benchmarks and then we'll come back to light. The fellowship of light. Light is the first benchmark, truth in Christ. We can also talk about the fellowship of faith, which essentially is the same as light. What we believe, that's the light. We walk in the light. We walk in the truth. But it is a fellowship of faith. All sinners saved by grace, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. It's also a fellowship of righteousness. Now, 1 John has a lot to say about that. And that righteousness is not just human morality or even Christian behavior. Now, understand what I mean by that. Those who walk in the fellowship of believers, the fellowship of God, we're to be moral people. We're to be honest people. We're to be sincere and dedicated. We're to try to be good people. And we're to do what Christians ought to do. But that's not our righteousness before God. The fellowship of righteousness is our fellowship under Christ. It is the perfection of righteousness that can only be found in Christ. And it is seen in the beauty and glory of His obedience, of the merit of His obedience unto death as the surety, the substitute, the Redeemer, the life giver, the preserver of His people. And so when we speak of righteousness in the Bible, we're not talking about just human morality or Christian behavior. I know the book of 1 John talks about doing righteousness, and I'll deal with that. But it's a fellowship of righteousness. Those who are in the family of God, in the fellowship of light and faith, they are righteous in God's sight, but not by their works. They are righteous because they stand before God in Christ, washed in His blood, clothed in His righteousness. And then it's a fellowship of love. And it's love of the brethren. Now we are to love all people without exception. But the fellowship of love is different. It's a divine love that binds Christians together in the truth. Love without truth is spurious love. It's not love. There's no love in lying to people, in giving them false hope and false assurance. And so this love is the love of God that is shed abroad in the hearts of God's people that binds them together in the truth. Now, when we talk about loving those who aren't in the truth, we're talking about loving them enough to work seeking their salvation. We don't bring them into, you know, God doesn't put them into the fellowship until they come to faith in Christ. And if they don't believe in Christ as He's identified and described and separated in this book, they're not in the fellowship of faith. And though we love them to the point that we want to see them saved, we don't love them in the fellowship of our family. It's kind of like if you think about your earthly families, you may love a lot of different people, but you have a special love for your children, a special love for your mother, your father, your brothers, and your sisters physically. So think about that. Well, let's go back to 1 John 1. Let's begin reading verse 1. And he begins talking about the fact that John the Apostle was an eyewitness of the things that transpired in the obedience unto death of Christ. He says in verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, the hearing of faith, which we have seen with our eyes. Remember Christ said, you must be born again or you cannot see the kingdom of God. But these are things that John heard and saw with his own eyes. He was an eyewitness, and which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. John's telling you, I'm not giving you second-handed information. I'm giving you first-hand eyewitness of what I saw the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Word of life. That's who He is. The word here is the word logos. You probably know that word, you know, from the Greek. Everybody speaks of it. John 1 in verse 1, in beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's Christ. The Word, John 1, 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's Christ. Christ is the living Word of God. He is the incarnate Word of God. God manifest in the flesh. If you want to know, He is the communication. He's the logic. He's the revelation of God. The Bible says that in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. If you want to know anything about God, the triune God, the one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit, you must see Him and know Him as He's revealed in the Son of God incarnate. The Bible speaks of the glory of God revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. That face there is that which identifies Him. It's the glory of His person, who He is. As I said, God manifest in the flesh, the God-man. That's what it took for Him to do the work that He was sent to do, to redeem His people from their sins. And it's the glory of His person and the glory of what He accomplished in His obedience unto death, as evidenced by His resurrection from the dead. Christ is risen. What does that mean? That means that the righteousness by which God has justified all His elect people has been established through the redeeming work of Christ. And it's sure and certain to accomplish its final goal, which is the glory of God in the salvation of every sinner for whom He chose, every sinner whom He justified, adopted, redeemed on the cross, every sinner who He brings to faith in Christ. Well, John says, I saw it all. And in verse 2 now, look, the King James translators put a parenthesis around it. And that's okay. But he says, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, that's what we're talking about, Christ crucified, risen from the dead. And we show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Now, eternal life, everlasting life, what is that? Christ said in John 17 and verse 2, verse 3, this is life eternal, that they may know thee, that is God the Father, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. The essence of eternal life, living forever in the eternal bliss of fellowship with God, is a relationship, a union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's manifested in the person and work of Christ. It's not manifested magically by visions in a cloud or dreams or anything like that. It is actually manifested, made known, come near us, in the person and work of Christ. It's all about Christ. He that hath the Son hath everlasting life, John wrote. He that hath not the Son hath not life and shall not see life. You see, if you want to live forever, you must have your sins washed away, forgiven forever. And there's only one ground upon which God will forgive sins and wash them away. And you know what it is? The blood of Jesus Christ. He's going to say that later on down here. He says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. That's amazing, isn't it? If you want to live forever in the eternal bliss of fellowship with God, you must have a righteousness. I must have a righteousness that answers the demands of God's law and justice. A perfect righteousness with no flaw, no error, no sin. And my friend, we don't have that by our works or by nature. How do we come into a righteousness that answers the demands of God's law and justice perfectly? And it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said it this way, that I may know him and be found in him, in Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. It is first by the faithfulness of Christ to do what he came to do. That's what righteousness is. It's not what I do. It's not even what I decide. It's what Christ did in his obedience unto death, as evidenced by his resurrection from the dead. Now, those for whom he died will be born again, and they will believe in him. And so that righteousness comes to us in knowledge and in believing by the revelation of God. The Bible says in Romans 10 and verse 4, for Christ is the end, the fulfillment, the perfection, the finishing of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And that believing comes through hearing the gospel, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You must be born again. And so it's manifested. Look at verse 3. He says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Not only did we see Christ, but we heard what he said. And this is a big issue now. You know, if Christ had come to this earth and taken upon himself sinless human flesh, body and soul, which he did, but had not spoken, had not kept the law, had not gone to the cross, there'd be no salvation. Salvation is in Christ, but not just simply in who he is, but in what he did and what he said. He had the words of life. It's what Peter said. To whom shall we go? You have the words of life. He preached the gospel. And the gospel was about him. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So John says in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. John's saying that what we've seen, we tell you about it. We preach it to you. And our goal is that you might believe it. And in believing it, you have fellowship with other believers. Now, if you reject it, you don't have fellowship with other believers. If you remain ignorant of it. The Apostle Paul spoke of this when he talked about his brethren in the Jewish nation physically. He said, my heart's desire and prayer for them is that they might be saved. They have a zeal of God, but they're ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish a righteousness of their own. Paul is talking about a division there that exists between his physical kinfolk, his physical family. We're not in fellowship, he's saying. My heart's desire and prayer to God is that they might be in fellowship with us, that God might bring them to faith in Christ. Many believers, in fact, I'll say this way, every believer in every generation has physical family members who are unbelievers, who do not know Christ and do not care for him, do not even reject him. And so even though there's a physical bond there, even a love bond, as physical love can go, there's no spiritual love there. There's no spiritual fellowship there. Now, how's that fellowship come about? As God gives the gift of faith under the preaching of the gospel and brings sinners into the family, and what we find out is this, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. It's a fellowship under God. It's a divine fellowship, you see. It's a union of souls brought together under the grace of God. There's not one person in this family who can say, I'm in this family because I did certain works or that I made a decision. No. It's all by the grace of God. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I'm completely forgiven of all my sins. On what ground? Well, I turned toward God and repented. Well, believers do that, but that's not the basis of their forgiveness. Oh, I cried all night and felt sorry for my sins and reformed my life. Well, you may have cried all night. Some do, some don't. You may reform your life, but that's not the basis of forgiveness. What is it? The blood of Jesus Christ. What? Somebody says, well, I don't agree with that. Well, if you're ever in a church service and they open the hymnal and say, let's sing Nothing But the Blood, don't sing it because you don't believe it. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And that means nothing. Nothing. Not even my tears of repentance can wash away my sins. It takes the blood of Christ. Why? Because in order for my sins to be put away, for the debt to be paid, the penalty to be paid, death has to occur. The death of a God-appointed, suitable, able, willing substitute has to take my place under the law, having my sins imputed to them, charged to them, and dying in my place. And there's only one person who did that. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what brings us into fellowship. And what makes me righteous before God? Not my works, not my obedience, not my experiences, not my decisions. Only Christ on that cross. His righteousness alone makes me righteous before God, as it's charged to me, imputed to me. Look at verse 4. He says, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. My friend, if you've ever been brought to Christ truly, that's the kind of joy that no human being can conjure up within themselves. It's a joy that it's joy and peace in believing, Paul wrote in Romans. Believing what? Not just in believing anything, but it's joy and peace in believing that Christ is my whole salvation. I'm secure because of Him, not because of me. I'm secure in Christ, who is on the throne of God in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for me. My sins cannot be charged to my account. Why? Because Christ died. I cannot be condemned. Oh, I tell you, preachers all over this land are preaching a false gospel, trying to get people in line and to do this and not do that based upon the threat of condemnation. That's a wrong motive, my friend. That doesn't make you a child of God in the family of God in the fellowship of faith. That doesn't make you a willing, loving bond slave of Christ. That makes you a mercenary. That makes you a legalist. But my friend, why should I obey God? Out of grace and love and gratitude. That's joy. And the fullness of that joy grows in me as I see more and more of the glory of Christ's person and the power of His finished work. And so here's the light now. Here's the fellowship. What I've been describing in these first four verses here, what John's been describing rather, and I've been reading, is the fellowship of light. Look at it in verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him from Christ and of Christ, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. What a great, great testimony of the gospel of light. Children of light. Christ said that He said, I am the light of the world. The light that lightens everybody. There is certain light that lights everybody in the sense of reason and rationale and thinking. But man by nature uses those things in a wrong way, rejects the gospel, and turns them into darkness. Christ told the Pharisees one time, He says, you've got the law of Moses, and He called that light. He said, but the light in you is darkness. How do you figure that? The light in you is darkness. Well, how many people today have a Bible and read their Bibles, but they don't know its message? They miss Christ. They read the Bible as either a book of moral stories like Aesop's fables, children's stories. They read the Bible as a book of morality. Oh, I need to do this. I need to do that. But they don't read the Bible to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Christ spoke of that in John chapter 5 when He spoke to the Pharisees who were supposedly masters of the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures. And in John 5:39, he says, "You do indeed search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me." They read the Bible. They sold, they're like people today. People today have scriptures on their bumper stickers. The Pharisees had it sewn into their phylacteries on their robes. They prayed on the street corners. They held prayer meetings. They were religious, but they missed Christ. They missed the power of His blood. There's power in the blood, the song says. They missed the righteousness of Christ, the perfection of righteousness that can only be found in Christ. But let me tell you something. When the gospel is preached in the power of the Holy Spirit and God turns that light on, then you'll see. You must be born again or you cannot see these things. Christ told His disciples, and when they asked Him, "Why do you speak in parables?" And He said, "Because it's a judgment against those who continually reject the light, reject the truth." He said, "They have ears, they don't hear. They have eyes, they don't see. They close their eyes and shut their ears because they don't want to be converted. They don't want to give up what they're so proud of, their religion, their works, their experiences." And that's the way it is with people today. I know because I was there. And it takes the power of God, the power of light, to blast us out of that false refuge and bring us into the fellowship of light. You see that? It takes the power of God, or we won't let go. Religious experiences and religious decisions and all of that, nothing compares to Christ in the glory of His person and the power of His finished work, His blood and righteousness alone. That's the power of light. That's the fellowship of light, which believers are brought into. And we don't bring people in or kick people out. It's God who brings them in by His grace. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.